proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast. Today we begin a series on the various Old Testament names and titles of God. People often use names and titles as they would labels, that is to say, distinguishing one person from another. The Bible, however, places an important emphasis on such identifiers, especially when it comes to the names and the titles of God. In Scripture, an individual's name denoted something definite about that person. The names and the titles of God are like miniature portraits of Him. God revealed these names and titles to mankind in order to unveil some aspect of His character or His work. The first name God used to reveal Himself is the Hebrew noun Elohim. That word occurred in the first verse of Genesis, and more than 2,300 times thereafter. It derived from a Hebrew word that meant to exalt. Note that in the Hebrew language, Elohim has a plural ending. The Hebrew language expressed numerical quantity through one of three endings: the singular ending expressing a quantity of one, the dual ending expressing a quantity of two, and the plural ending, which expressed a quantity of three or more. When we turn to the opening verse of the book of Genesis, we learn an important piece of information about the nature of God. Quote, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," unquote. So the subject, God, has a plural ending in the Hebrew language. The verb rendered as created is in the third person singular form. This construction suggested the existence of a plurality of persons in the Godhead, a plurality of persons that nonetheless acted as a single entity. While the text of Genesis 1 does not prove that the Old Testament taught the triune nature of God, it certainly allows for a reader to infer that possibility. The New Testament would further amplify the role of God the Son, Jesus Christ, in the process of creation. Consider how such an interpretation of the name Elohim impacts how to perceive that famous affirmation contained in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. That affirmation that the Jews refer to as Shema, from the first word in the Hebrew, which means to hear. What is this affirmation? Quote, "The Lord our God is one Lord," unquote. Jewish commentators have said that such a passage refuted the Christian concept of a triune God. The interpretation of that passage comes to understanding what the word Echad in the Hebrew means. Echad is also translated as one, not only in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, where it says one Lord, but also in the second chapter of Genesis, in connection with marriage between a man and a woman. Quote, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh," unquote. In a marital relationship, a husband and a wife retain their separate identities, even though they combine to become a single corporate family unit. So it is with the Godhead. You have three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each one is God, yet they are part and parcel of the Godhead. That plural ending in the word Elohim recognized the separate persons comprising the Godhead. Speaking about one God in Deuteronomy 6 simply portrayed the unity of those individual members of the Godhead, acting harmoniously. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.